So he stays there now?
Yeah. Back and forth. They're back and forth. Okay, good morning, everyone. Okay. All right. Everything you want to know about Tumah, which is not true. Okay, we're, you know, just scratching the surface of some of the topics of Tumah. Today's a big day in terms of Tumah's Ohel. Let's get started. In terms of where the daf is, let's not focus on that because that's not going to help. My goal for today is to get to the side B, Amud Beis of Kuf Chavav of 126, and to get to the Mishnah. And so that tomorrow we're going to be sitting on the start of a new sugya. We're in the middle of a sugya, and it starts with a Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah really is the last two words of Kuf Chav Dal Amud Beis, and the Mishnah talks about Kolis Hameis, the femur bone of a human corpse. Now, what's noteworthy of this is that, assuming that we've taken off all the flesh off the top of the bone, and we're only going to be dealing with the moach, with the marrow inside the bone. Marrow is mace. It's considered human remains, and therefore it's going to give off tumas ohel. But you have to remember, though, that it is encased in the bone. And we're going to be discussing right now, assuming that the bone is totally encased, so the marrow is totally encapsulated. Now, yesterday, when we started this discussion, Ben asked me the question about shomer, meaning, why don't we view the bone as a shomer? And so Rashi addresses that question in the Mishnah. I'm going to review because it's such a basic point. So Rashi says, because if the food is totally encased, so that which encases it is not a shomer. And so it begs the question then, so then really it forces us to really rethink and redefine shomer, meaning you normally assume that I kept giving the example of an orange peel, and I said, well, that's a shomer. Based on what we're saying now, not necessarily, meaning if the orange peel totally envelops the orange, so you might make the argument that right now, as it is, the orange peel is not a shomer. But as we'll learn later this morning, once you make one perforation in the bone, that's it. In other words, at that point in time now, the bone is going to serve as a shomer, that which preserves, and so now, right, tumah starts going everywhere. Okay, okay, you understand, I want to discuss just more generally before we start with the Gemara. You understand Tumas Ohel? Okay, Tumas Ohel is only by human remains, meaning by no other source of Tumah do we have this idea of Tumas Ohel. Not totally true, right? It comes to my mind right now, Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah also gives off Tumas Ohel, albeit Midrabanan. And Mitzorah, Tzaras also gives off Tumas Ohel, Tzaras Nigei Batim. Okay, but again, without wandering too far away, just to stay focused. Right? Tumas Meis is the only thing that gives off Tumas Ohel. Nevela, no. Nevela does not give off Tumas Ohel. A nevela of an animal, only human remains. Now, how does it work? It basically works like this. If there was Tumas Ohel in this room, okay? So just for imagine that I have Tumas Meis right over here. You need a kezias of flesh, all right, in order to have a discussion of Tumas Meis, meaning bone by itself, bone is not enough. There is certain circumstances where bone gives off Tumas Ohel, but we're not going to, you're most of the time not going to get there. Meaning for bone to give off Tumas Ohel, you need Rav Minyan to Rav Binyan, the majority of the bone structure, or the vertebrae, right, and the majority of the vertebrae. So let's assume, in other words, bones by themselves don't give off Tumas Ohel. What gives off Tumas Ohel is flesh, right? The human, actual human remains. Okay, which obviously decomposes over the course of time, but nevertheless, so human remains is going to give off Tumas Ohel. If there is a piece of mace, kezias of mace, right here in this room, so the way it behaves is that it goes straight up, hits the roof, right? Obviously none of this is visible, spreads out over the entire roof, and drops down to whatever is under the roof. That is the behavior of Ohel. Anyone who's going to be anyone or any keli, any utensil that's going to be in this room is going to become tame to the degree of an avatama, meaning that the tumah that comes off the mace is an avi avosa tumah, right? The granddaddy of tumah. So therefore, when the tumah drops, anyone or any object in this room is going to now become a source of tumah. This is the basic behavior of a tumas ohel. What if we're outside? Meaning, so what if there's no roof over the head? So how does the tumah behave? So it goes up. How far up? Ad infinitum. Just continues going up. which means that you could be a mile above the tumah, directly above the tumah, and just simply wave your hand right over the tumah, and now you're going to become tame. Right? The discussion about flight paths of airplanes over cemeteries. Okay, again, it's important. I'm just, you know, I wanted to remain focused just in terms of understanding the basic concepts that come up. Okay? Another thing I just want to go over in terms of a general introduction before we start the daf, and that's the following. Let's say the tumah is encased in, right, a basket or a coffin, or as we'll learn later on this morning, right, a cabinet, a filing cabinet. Okay, again, all these things are going to be so unpleasant just in terms of thinking about it, but just to understand the halachic concepts. You have a piece of tumah in a filing cabinet, in a cabinet. So, generally speaking, the rule is like this, is that as long as you have an area of 1 by 1 by 1 tefach, a cubic tefach that is encasing the tumah's mace, it basically stops the tumah from going up any further. Meaning, I have a piece of tumah in this very room. So what do we say? The tumah goes up, hits the roof, spreads out over the roof, and drops back down again. Obviously, the roof is stopping the tumah, meaning the roof is doing two things. Number one, it's spreading the tumah and dropping it down to whatever's under this roof, and also the tumah no longer goes up any further above this roof. Okay, now this roof is about 8 feet over our head, but we can even drop the ceiling down to 5 feet, 3 feet, even 1 foot, meaning all you need is a tefach of space between the mace and the roof above it, 4 inches, and it's going to be basically the same thing, which is it's going to stop the tumah, and the tumah will now be contained in that one particular area. Okay.
And the hospital is like the second
The hospitals, you have a lot of issues, and again, this is, I heard someone recently discuss this at length. You have a lot of other issues. Some of them also we're going to be discussing this morning, but I'll tell you what, I know, I understand that you want to take what we're learning and turn it into practical halacha, which I respect, but just for the time being, just to understand the very basics of how tumah's ohel works.
So they mace give up tumah immediately?
Yeah. Yes, that's correct. The meaning there's no, right, the moment that the person's no longer alive, that's it. The tumah now just, you know, flies.
Is there any less tumah with the kazayas versus?
Nope. Same amount, same degree. Meaning once you hit threshold, so that's it. The tumah is going to, it's like, if you like the psychology, it's like a sensory nerve, meaning once you hit the threshold, that's it, it fires. So here also, once you hit the threshold, it fires.
The decomposition doesn't help in terms of
existence. Well, eventually what's going to happen is that once the flesh totally decomposes, so then it's no longer going to give off mace, but that means total decomposition, right? There has to be some moisture, some fluid, okay? So totally dried. And then again, you're going to hear me later on say that if you have a spoonful of totally decayed matter, human remains, so that's going to give off tumah. That's a separate discussion, right? That's Malo Tarvad. We'll talk about that later on. Again, a lot of rules, a lot to see. Okay, question?
If you encase the body, or if you have a pot that has no nikkul, is there still...
Yeah, so if the body is encased, but the encasement does not give it that room of a tefach, so then the tumah is just simply going to go straight up. Okay? Yeah, body bags will not contain the tumah. You need to encase in some sort of container that's going to give that space of one tefach, which is what they attempt to do when they put the bodies on planes, to give that space so that the tumah does not go up. Okay, I know it's, you know, once I opened up the bag of tumah's mace, there are obviously going to be a lot of questions. But again, just for the basic, just to get through today's daf, we're going to now start the daf. We are going to not take a step backwards. We're going to go right from where we are, but I need to review just so you understand. The Mishnah yesterday talked about kolis ha-meis. Again, the femur bone of a human. And that was the first case of the Mishnah, together with the femur bone of a karban. And then the Mishnah says that if you touch it, whether they are whole or whether they're perforated, you're going to be tameh. Okay, that's what we learned in the Mishnah. And then we talked about the femur bone of a nevela and the femur bone of a sheretz, a hedgehog or a mole, something like that. So if you touch that, so it depends. If they are whole, so you're tummy, but I'm sorry, if they are whole, you're a tahor, but if they're perforated, you're tummy. Okay? So, good. And then the Mishnah went on to discuss Tumas Masa as well, the Tuma of carrying, and if there is no Maga, then there's not going to be Masa. Remember, this takes us back to yesterday's daf, the correlation of Maga to Masa. Okay. What bothered the Gemara immediately is, I don't understand, we're talking about the bone of a human remains, right? The femur bone. And it says in the Mishnah that if you touch it, you're going to be Tameh. And why is the Mishnah only limiting the whole discussion to touching? What happened to Ohel? You have human remains. Now remember, the critical aspect over here is not the bone, but the marrow contained therein in the bone, which is now mace. That's human remains. And so therefore should give off to Masoel. How come the Mishnah is not discussing that? So answer number one we proposed yesterday is there's not a kezias of mawach. Period. Meaning this particular marrow bone in question does not have one kezias of marrow. And so therefore there's no discussion. That was answer number one. We went through it. That took us halfway down the page. And now we are moving ahead to answer number two. My right. I'm sorry, Abaye Amar. Okay, to find me, we're in the middle of Kuf Chafei Amar Aleph, and we're smack in the middle of the Amud. Okay, this is now going to be answer number two. Abaye Amar lo lamoch mibifnim, mala aruka mibachutz. Now, Abaye is of the opinion as follows, that if you have bone, and there is marrow inside the bone, and had the person been alive, that limb would have regenerated. Okay? Is it right? Biologically accurate? Doesn't interest me for now. But the basic point is that, according to Abaye, he will argue that such a bone would regenerate, and since it would regenerate, so therefore we're dealing with a limb. If we're dealing with an entire limb, it should give off to Masoel. So, Moach mibifnim ala aruka mibachutz v'hacha b'maizkinan b'sheshafa. And the reason why this particular bone in question does not give off Tumas Ohel is because you scraped away at the bone, meaning you no longer have, in other words, obviously it's just a limb, and there's no flesh on the surface area, but moreover in that, you scraped away at the bone. There will come a point in time when you scrape away at the bone that the bone no longer will regenerate. In fact, if you scrape away at the bone. Now, the Gemara over here is extraordinarily technical and specific that you have to scrape away the bone around the circumference of the bone. And that will kill the bone, meaning that leaving no room for regeneration. And so therefore, from a standpoint of giving off tuma, so you need a full limb. Tuma so well, you need a full limb. Because I scraped away around the circumference, it's no longer going to regenerate. If I just make a vertical scrape down the side of the bone, that doesn't kill the limb, so to say. There will be a chance for the limb to regenerate. V'siman chadikla. And the way to remember that is by a palm tree. By a palm tree. You want to kill a palm tree. So if you just make a vertical cut down the one side of the palm tree, you won't kill the palm tree. But if you scrape away at the bark all the way around the edge and you prevent the nutrients from going up to the palm tree, so that'll be an excellent way of killing the palm tree. Same thing with the bone. Okay, that is approaches one and two, but both of them are assuming that there is not a kezias of marrow in the bone. Answer number three, Rav Yochanan. And with this answer, really the Gemara will just segue into a lengthy discussion of Tumas Ohel. Everyone fasten your seatbelt. Rav Yochanan amar la'olam dika kezias. Okay, there is a kezias of marrow inside the bone. Umoach mibifnim ala aruka mibachutz, and we will assume that if there is marrow inside the bone will regenerate, which means that we are dealing with a limb. This is now a limb. Umay nogeh diktani ma'ahil. And Rav Yochanan says, and when the Mishnah says the words nogeah, the Mishnah does not mean touch. That's what nogeah usually means. When you see that word, that's a good assumption. Not in this particular Mishnah. This Mishnah means nogeah means touch. I'm sorry, nogeah means ohel. So actually, according to Rav Yochanan, our Mishnah is talking about Tumas Ohel. So it's a femur bone of a human. There is a kezias of moach inside the femur bone. And when the Mishnah says, Hanogea behem, if you touch it, it means Ohel. You are under the same roof. The imoch bibifnim ala ruka mibachutz kolos nevel v'kolos v'sharetz kilo nikva amai taharim. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, that limbs regenerate, So then let's move on to the next part of the Mishnah. Next part of the Mishnah was talking about the femur bone of a carcass of an animal and the femur bone of a sheretz. So if we're talking now about a limb, a full limb, so it should give off tumah. So, and meanwhile, the Mishnah says that if there's no neck, if there's no hole, so it's tahor. Why? It's going to regenerate. So Amar Rebbe ben Yamin bar Gidol, Amar Rav Yochanan hacha b'may skin and kigon d'ika kazayis malach ha-miskash-kesh. There is marrow inside, but it rattles, right? It rattles, meaning you take the femur bone, you shake it, and you hear it rattle inside. Now, gabe meis tuma b'kasva ola. Now, as far as a mace is concerned, we don't care. Meaning, for us, for human remains, remember now there's an additional tuma called tumas ohel. That means as long as there's a kazayis of marrow inside the bone, the tumah goes up. The property of tumas ohel is that it just simply goes up. And remember, you have to be discussing case where there's not a tefach of airspace, and so therefore the tumah just goes right through the bone and, you know, goes to the roof. However, va'ola nevela kem the miskashkeshu nikve in lo nikve lo. Now, when it comes to an animal, either an ola or a nevela, either way, so you need it to have a neck, if you need it to have a hole, because remember, a totally encased item, that encasing is not considered a shomer, like we discussed in the beginning of today's shir, / the end of yesterday's shir.
There's no tefach in the
correct, exactly the point. Meaning, since there's no tefach, so now the tumah is not contained, and so therefore it goes. Okay, so who nikva in lo nikva lo? Am Rabbi Avin, v'item Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Avin, af anami tanina. Now, we're going to make the case. Now, here's what we're going to be focusing on for the next about half an amud of Gemara. Meaning, this pshat of Rav Yochanan, our Mishnah, really establishes a big chiddush, which is that when the Mishnah says the word nogea, it's fair to interpret nogea as ohel. Meaning, all we're going to do now is take my sentence and reverse it and invert it. Meaning that tumas ohel is really a function of negia. Okay? Yesterday, we talked about this in terms of carrying is really a function of negia. Now, I guess we're going to take it to its next logical conclusion. Ohel, that being under the same roof is a function of negia. It's like a subcategory of negia, and therefore the terms are interchangeable. So we can have a mace in this room, and the mace is going to, the tumah is going to go up, hit the ceiling, and drop down. So it is not a nonsense statement to make. It's not nonsense to say we are touching the tumah, even though it's ohel, its properties are ohel, but the word negia is relevant. And the Gemara says, and I'll give you an excellent illustration that this is in fact the case. So we start now, we're going to be doing a series of Mishnayos and Olos this morning. So, Mishnah number one. This is the third parak of Olos. Not because I am super familiar, but I just look at the side of the Gemara. You should know my tricks. I look at the side of the Gemara, and it says third parak of Olos, first Mishnah of the third parak. The Mishnah goes, Hanogea bekechatzi zayis, uma'ahil al chatzi zayis. Oh, chatzi zayis ma'alil alav, tamei. Mishnah Noelos deals with the following scenario. With my one hand, I am touching Chatzi Zayis. Okay, my cell phone today will represent a half a Kazayis of mace. Okay, of course. And then, while touching a half a Kazayis, remember, you need a full Kazayis in order to become Tameh. While touching a half Kazayis, this will be another half Kazayis, and it's now going to hit the ceiling, drop. And so now I'm in a room where I'm touching a half a Kazayis, and under the roof of a half a kazayis. And the Mishnah says, you're tamei.
You have to be under the roof, not just your other hand, right?
Huh?
You have to be kind of...
Well, either you or your hand. Either way.
You have to touch
the circuit.
Hmm? No, because... What do you mean, why do I have to touch? Oh, let's say this is outside... I'm sorry. You're, right, Hedy, you're, good point. Let's say this is outside the room. Let's put this outside the room. And so I'm inside the room, or I even just have a hand inside the room. Either way is fine. And then I touch this. Okay, excellent correction. Okay, or excellent clarification. And so, but the point is that they combine. Now, you understand in the world of tumah, you can't combine dissimilar tumahs. You can only combine if they're similar. And the Gemara makes exactly this point. Perfect. If Ohel and Negiah are the same shame, it's the same name, or we'll use a different word, it's the same category, so then you understand how there could be a combination.
What do you mean,
huh?
What do you mean category?
Meaning they're not categorically different. They're categorically the same. Touching and Ohel are categorically the same. But but if you want to call them two different names, Mimitzarif, you can't combine Vahatanan. In fact, and here you don't even have to go that far away, meaning we're going to still be learning the same Mishnah in Ohelos. The Mishnah says the Aklal, Kol Shu Mishem Echad Mitzarif Etameh, Mishnei Shemos Tahor. I can't combine dissimilar Tumas. A simple example, if let's say I have a half a Kazayas of Mace and a half a Kazayas of Nevela, and I touch the two, they're not going to combine, meaning I'm not going to become Tameh. Because there is no room for combination of two dissimilar tumas. Here, if I'm touching a half a kezias, and I'm owling, I'm verbing the word, and I'm owling another half a kezias, so then you're going to be tummy, because the two are going to combine, because the Mishnah is showing you that they're categorically the same. Okay?
So somebody's standing between two oil, put two hands over here.
Oh, that for sure he'll be tummy. Meaning
half kezias, half
kezias. Yeah, I understand. And he'll be tummy. Now, the Gemara says, sounds good, sounds very good, however, Ema Seifa. But I'm going to tell you, though, keep learning the Mishnah Noelos. Keep learning. And the Mishnah over there goes on to say the following. Aval. Hanogea bekechatzi zayis v'davar acher ma'ahil alav v'al kechatzi zayis tahor. Then the Mishnah goes on to say something which is totally confusing because it totally contradicts what we just learned, which is that if you touch a chatzizayis and something's ma'ahil alav v'al chatzizayis, that, and then on top of that, you are now tenting, you're owling with another half his eyes, you're going to be tahor. So the Gemara says, v'yichachmahu amai tahor. So the Gemara says, so you see that in the next part of the Mishnah, you're not tameh, you're in fact tahor. So the Gemara says, I kind of get it, meaning this part of the Mishnah feels that Tumas Ohel and Tumas Maga are not the same categorically, and therefore they don't combine. The obvious question is, how do you learn the first part of the Mishnah? Well, the first part of the Mishnah, Ohel says that they combine. And the Gemara says, Elakasha Resha. Okay, so that's difficult. Am Rabbi Zera, but Tumas Ritzutza Bein Beis Migdala Maskinan, Ve'ein Beinein Poseach Tefach, Dekula Negiahi. So the Gemara says that we're gonna say as follows. Look, basically now the approach of the Gemara is gonna be like this: Tumas Ohel and Tumas Maga are not categorically the same. Okay, now I understand that creates a big problem because we wanted to say this in order to adopt Rav Yochanan's interpretation of our Mishnah and Chulin. Okay, but right now we're gonna say they're not the same, and that's how we're gonna learn the latter clause of the Mishnah. They're not the same, and therefore they don't combine. Okay, what about the first part of the Mishnah? What are you going to do with that? That's talking about something else. That's what's called, the Gemara here refers to as Tumah Ritzutza. Meaning, if you have Tumah encased in another item, but that other item, there's no airspace. As I mentioned in the introduction to today, you need an airspace of one by one by one. You need a cubic airspace you need a cubic airspace in order to stop the Tumah from going up. The first part of the Mishnah is where there isn't. So in other words, the Tumah is inside something. The Gemara over here refers to Beis Migdalim Askinan. It's between two towers, whatever the case is. In other words, it's not, there's no airspace. If there's no airspace, wait just one second. So give me a moment. If there's no airspace, so now the Tumah is going to go straight up. And you put your hand directly over that stream of Tumah that's coming up. That's Negia. That's contact. Meaning, if it goes to the roof and hits the roof and it drops down, and I'm now in this area, that's Ohel. But as the Tumah goes up, rises up, as it's Boka'as, as it comes up, and I put my hand directly over that stream, that's regarded as contact. The first case of the Mishnah is describing that scenario, whereas the second case of the Mishnah is talking about your more classic Ohel, Tumas Ohel.
The difference was that the first one is accepted, the second one is not?
No, they're both parts of the Mishnah are correct, But the first one, the first part of the Mishnah is where that tumah is confined, so the tumah just basically elevates. And what you did is you put your hand directly over that elevation, directly over the tumah. That's negiah. Okay, fine. Okay, good. So in other words, that's how we'll learn the Mishnah in Olalos. Fine.
Yeah, so the first one, it's not, there's no roof over the...
Right, right. Now here's the problem, and the problem is very simple. Now that we know this Mishnah in Olalos, so Rav Yochanan had a pshat in our Mishnah, which seems to have gone away. Because the Mishnah says that even your classic Ohel, meaning where the tumah goes up, hits the ceiling, and comes back down again, even your classic Ohel is called Negiah. Now, the way we just learned this Mishnah, that's not correct. That's not true. If you put your hand directly over the tumah, that's Negiah. But Ohel, in the classic sense of hitting the roof and dropping down again, that's not Negiah. In fact, the Mishnah that we just learned clearly argues with this whole concept. Because the Mishnah's second clause is that if I put my hand into a room that has a half a kezias, and I'm touching now outside the room another half kezias, they don't combine. So from this Mishnah, if anything, we see just the opposite, that Ohel and Negiah are not categorically the same. Okay. So what now that leaves us, that forces us to do now, is try to explain, how does Rabbi Yochanan get away with what he is saying about our Mishnah, that Ohel and Negiah are the same thing? That's the next step of the Gemara.
If you have a kezait, you know, like more than kezait in a room, Ohel, and you just put your hand in, you don't get tameh.
Sure, you'll get tameh, so but that's Ohel.
It's like nagiyah.
No, it's just
your hand.
I understand that, but now your hand has touched. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But in other words, it's been Ohelt. Yeah. You know, if you could take the verb. In other words, it's a different transmission. It's a different form of transmission.
Maybe indirect.
Okay, something along those lines. Okay, so the Gemara says, Uman tana dekari la ohel nogeya. Okay? So here's what we're going to do now. We're going to show that there is a Tana, clearly not the Mishnah we just learned. Fine. But there is a Tana who views Ohel as a subcategory of Negia, and that Tana is Rav Yossi, and now the Gemara is going to make its case. Rav Yossi, he did Tanya. Rav Yossi, Omer. Malo tarvad rekev metame bemaga uva maso uva ohel. Okay. A spoonful of decayed body, of rotted, decayed body, gives off tumah. How does it give off tumah? It's its own thing. Rashi refers to it as halacha lamoshe misinai, meaning it's not a kezias of mace, it's not bone, it's just decomposed body matter. In fact, it's kind of, it's not even burnt, it's just decomposed. In fact, there's a lot of qualifications in terms of how you get to this point, right? A lot of qualifications. Okay, right now, just again, we're dealing more with the concept than we are with the practical. So here you have a spoonful of human remains, and it's totally decayed. So it's like you know, like when you go into the Egyptian crypts, and you're basically, you know, you could blow it away and it just, you know, it'll be like ashes. So it gives off tumah in one of three ways: touching it, carrying it, and ohel. Now bishlama b'masav ohel. You know the two of them that make a lot of sense: carrying it and ohel. They make perfect sense because I can pick up the spoon and by that I'll be carrying the entire spoonful, or I can be under the roof of the entire sharing a roof with the entire spoonful. Those two actually make sense. You know what doesn't make sense? Maga, touching it. How are you touching it? Now, so you'll tell me, I understand, what's so complicated? Take your finger and put your finger on it. Yeah, but you're not touching all of it. You're touching some of it, not all of it. In other words, you have to touch all of it. So how does that work? So the Gemara says, Bishlama ben masav o'el akatayin le lakula v'akamah lakula. Elo nogeya, halo naga bakula. You didn't touch all of it. So what do you see from that Mishnah over there, that Mishnah Braisa? What do we want to call it? I don't know. Tosefta. Yeah. So what are we going to do with it? Well, you know what? You see that Nogea is Ohel. It's one and the same. The Gemara says, that's difficult. That's a difficult pshat. V'haktani Nogea, v'haktani Mahil. No, it can't be, because the Mishnah actually gives three illustrations. Maga, Masa, and Ohel. You can't tell me that Maga is Ohel, because then what the Mishnah is reading is Ohel, Masa, Ohel. That doesn't make sense. So Amar Abaye, Lamata mitefach Ohel, Nigia, Lamala mitefach Ol Greda. So Abaye says, well, you know how you're going to understand it? Look, if you are, in other words, you're right. Abaye is basically saying you can't touch it, meaning because touching requires you to touch all of it. That's not happening. It means like this. If this is a spoonful of decayed human matter, and I'm going to drink this cup of coffee, by the way, I assure you. But if this was a cup of decayed human matter, so Abaye says, if you put your hand within a tefach of it, that's ohel, but that's ohel maga. Okay, I know I'm throwing around a lot of terminology right now. That's ohel maga. Abaye says, that's ohel, but that's more like touching than it is ohel. Okay? If I'm above a tefach, that's your classic ohel. That's Abaye's answer. Now, as Rashi points out, Abaye's not helping us right now. Right? Rashi makes it exceedingly clear. This is not good for the cause. The cause right now is, you're right, what are we rallying for? We're rallying for Rav Yossi to say that ohel and maga are one and the same thing. And right now, what Abaye is essentially saying is, if you put your hand within a tefach, that's ohel, that's maga, meaning ohel maga. But if you put your hand above a tefach, no, that's ohel, that's not maga. So Abaye is not helping our cause right now. So Rashi basically says, Abaye, you're right, he's making it worse. So you know what you're going to do when you learn this Gemara? For the time being, you ignore Abaye, essentially. Meaning, not in a vacuum, but just in terms of the context of our Gemara. Abaye is not helping our cause. So you go to the next answer, which is Rava. Rava amar filo mala mitefach nami ol negiahu. Good. This is what we want to hear. Right? Even if your hand is above a tefach, that's called ohel maga, meaning that's touching, which is the same as... Sorry. That's ohel, which is the same as touching.
Well, that, you're outside now, right?
Yes. Right. In other words, right. Correct. In other words, okay. Yes. Ve'hechi dami ol greida ve'hamshacha. And now, what is ohel by itself? Ohel by itself is bir mamshich, meaning you leave the spoonful over here, it goes up, hits the roof, and then you know what normally happens. So that is how you're going to understand that brisa. Okay? Amar Rava mina amina la ditnan. So now Rava says, so let's see this again inside. Again, what we're trying to indicate is that ohel and negia are really interchangeable terms. So Rava says, I'll illustrate it with the following. Okay, this is a Tosefta of Oalos. Rav Yossi Omer, Chavila Mita, Usrige Chalonos, Chotzin Bein Ha'abayis La'aliyah, Shalol La'achnis Tumlet Sad Sheni. Okay. Following. I have, back in the good old days when they made their beds, so they didn't have a box spring like we do. Okay, that's modern, that's sophisticated. What they had is very simple. In other words, they had the frame of the bed, and then they had lattice. It was just simply a lattice made up of a thick rope that they basically tied into the frame, and then they put the mattress right on top of that. Okay, kind of like the metal lattices that we had. But okay, so this is a lattice work, or the Gemara describes a lattice work that they put on the windows. Remember, back in the good old days, there was no glass. On the windows, glass is a, glass windows is a modern phenomena. So basically, on the openings of the house, they put latticework over there. Let's say the Tosefta describes the following scenario. Let's say I take that latticework, either one, the bed latticework or the window latticework, it doesn't matter, and I build into the house, separating the first floor from the second floor. Okay? Not a sturdy second floor. Not a sturdy floor for the second floor, but right now, don't worry about the construction. Don't worry about your certificate of occupation. Just simply follow the conceptual analysis of Tumas Meis. Okay? And we go on. Okay? And now, basically, it's like this. It's a Tumas stopper. Meaning, if on the first floor I have a Kazayis of Meis, and the Tumas goes up, the lattice will hold the tumma, spread it, of course, but basically hold the tumma. If you're on the second floor, You're not tame, because it's going to stop the tuma. Now, obviously, lettuce has a lot of holes in it, so you're going to have to assume that each hole is less than 1 by 1 tefach. If there's a hole large enough for 1 by 1 tefach, obviously the tuma is going to escape right through. So the lettuce here is less than a 1 by 1 tefach, okay? So even though, obviously, it's a holy floor, right? There are holes in the lattice. It doesn't matter, meaning it's going to stop it. Now, as Rashi points out, we're going to also point out over here that you nailed the lattice work into the walls of the house, so it's really part and parcel of the house. Okay, so that means that the lattice actually is not going to become tameh, and it's going to stop the tumah. Stop it meaning the tumah will go up to that lattice, spread out over the lattice, and drop down again. Good. Parson al pnei ameis be'avir. What if I don't build it into the walls? Let's say I just simply lay it over the body. Okay. Hanogea keneged hanekev tameh. Shelo keneged hanekev tahor. So now, basically, the tumah is going to go up. Whatever tumah, okay, if we have our lattice work over here, just this is just one of the slats of the lattice. If I'm and the tumah is right below, so whatever is the tumah is going to go up. Basically, it'll go through the lattice. The lattice itself, whatever physical lattice is there, is going to stop the tumah, meaning. So that if I'm directly over this point over here, not me, let's say a needle or anything is directly over this, that does not become tame. Okay? But anything that's within the airspace, the tumah is going to go through the airspace. Okay. So far, so good. There's a point why we're learning this Tosefta. Hopefully we'll make that point. Now, where exactly was this spread out over the body? Now, where did I put this lattice? Within a tefach of the body? Can't imagine. Because basically then it's no different than basically the clothing of the dead body.
Or even was a solid structure.
Oh, right, or a sheet, right. In other words, it's a covering for the dead body. That tumah is going to go up. Not just the tumah that's in the airspace, but the tumah that's actually right over the right underneath the actual lattice, the tumah is just going to go up. So it must be that the lattice was over a tefach above the mace. Okay. Now, if you review the brisa, the Tosefta, one more time, you'll read carefully what verb was used in the Tosefta. So the Tosefta says, if you touch the area that corresponds to the airspace of the lattice, you're going to be tummed. Touch? What are you touching? You're not touching anything. What you see clearly from this Tosefta, that the terminology of nogea is synonymous with the terminology of ohel. Nogea and ohel are interchangeable. This is Rava's demonstration that you see that the terms nogea and ohel are synonymous. V'kakarile nogea. Okay, good. This is supporting Rav Yochanan's understanding of our Mishnah, that when our Mishnah says the words nogea, it means ohel. Amar Abaye, now Abaye is going to throw cold water on this entire thesis. Amar Abaye, la'olam lamata mitefach, u'dekamar, meis piksusahu, meis piksusa mevatale, haylo mevatale. So the Gemara says, look, from a Abaye standpoint, no, I'm going to go back to that suggestion that you rejected so quickly, which was that the lattice is within a tefach of the body. And the Gemara's question was, well, I don't understand. That's like clothing. And you know that tumah just goes right through the clothing. So Abaye says very simply, no. Because when you dress a mace in clothing, so the clothing becomes bottled to the mace. In other words, there you could totally disregard the clothing. Here, however, in other words, if you have the lattice which is within a tefach, but not touching it, that doesn't become batal. Therefore, the tumah only goes through the holes, but doesn't penetrate through the actual lattice. Okay? Again, this is the same Abaye who we mentioned just a couple of minutes ago says wasn't helping our cause, because Abaye is not interested in helping our cause. Abaye is not defending Rav Yochanan's understanding of our Mishnah. It's Rava who is doing so. So, again, Abaye is not helping us in this whole discussion. Let's do a little bit more for this morning.
So which one do you accept?
Too early. V'tehavik etuma tmuna bokaas v'ola. So the Gemara says, here's what I don't understand. So if the tumah now is in a contained area, so doesn't it just simply continue going up? Kasever av yosi tumah tmuna eino bokas. So the Gemara will tell us that on another front of tumas ohel, Rav Yossi also takes a very interesting position. He says that even when you have contained tumah, the tumah does not go up. We don't follow this position, meaning that we follow the position that if tumah is contained, meaning in a contained area, meaning an enclosed area, and you don't have an airspace of a tefach by a tefach, we are of the opinion, the accepted halachic position is, the tumah is going to go straight up. Rav Yossi doesn't subscribe to that. Okay, and now what the Gemara will do is demonstrate that according to Rav Yossi, tumah, even when contained, even when it has no airspace, mace does not go up, mace remains in its place. Okay, so where are we right now? So hopefully not lost, but basically battling a lot of fronts in tumas mace. We'll have to stop over here, but just to make sure that we walk away today not totally dazed and confused. Our Mishnah says that if you have a femur bone of a human remain, so if you're nogeh, if you touch it, you'll be tameh. Rav Yochanan, we offered a number of explanations of the Mishnah, but then we have the explanation of Rav Yochanan, who basically says, what does that mean? Nogeah? It means ohel. Nogeah and ohel are synonymous terms. So, if you're under the same roof of the femur, you're going to be tameh. Why? Because you have moach, you have marrow in that bone, because it's a marrow in that bone, and therefore you're going to be tameh. Okay, what we are now in the middle of battling is, number one, the assertion of Yochanan that the words maga and ohel are basically synonymous. Number two, we're also going to posit that according to Rav Yossi, even when you have tumah that's contained with no airspace, the tumah does not go up, but the tumah is still going to be contained. These are both Rav Yossi positions, and the Gemara now is going to prove both of these positions. We'll have to stop here. Okay, tomorrow we will pick it up from this point.